This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, a daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in that old description so you can do just that.
And the verse of the day today is coming to you from Romans chapter 7, verse 19, one of my favorite verses. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will to not do, that I practice.
Why you do that, Paul? Are you dumb?
No, Paul said, I got the plight of everybody. I'm sinful just like you are.
Yeah.
What I want to do, I don't do. But what I don't want to do, that's what I end up
100%,
doing.
100%. It's easy to make fun of. It's easy to look on the surface and say, man, what a clown. It's human nature.
Oh, yeah, we all
it's
do
human
it.
Nature. We are so complex and we are so backwards sometimes. And it seems so obvious. And yet it's reality. It's life. I can mirror the exact same thing. The things that I know are bad, I know are wrong, and I even will myself not to do, not to become, I end up becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And you question, is it inevitable or is it just me giving way to sin?
Well, and sometimes hearing like somebody like Paul struggling with this, you're mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, I'm not alone. Yeah. But that's also not a license to continue in that behavior.
That's
Paul
true.
Is saying this is not a good thing and I'm striving to be better mm-hmm. and you yourself should strive to be better as well. We have to ask God to change our desires because
100%.
Our desires are what's wrong. Our desires
yep.
are sinful.
Yep.
So we have to ask God to change us from the inside out.
That's right. And part of doing that is reading the Word of God every single day. We want to help you do that with today's sponsors, the Date the Word app. You can find all of their information in the link below. Every single day connects today's date with God's Word, with the hope of making it more memorable for you. Shout out to Date the Word for sponsoring today's episode. Speaking of all these things that just come up with me, just bitterness and anger and rage. I got a gripe today.
Oh my.
Welcome to the Gripe Mine.
Doink.
We are nearing the end of our building process. Right.
Thankfully.
We're building a new worship center. In fact, the steeple's going on in a couple of days.
Yep.
We are nearing the end. As Dr. Strange would say, we're in the end game.
We're in the
now.
End game.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
I'm not a construction guy.
Sure.
Look at my hands. Do these look like weathered hands that know manual labor? No. I sit here and I talk into a microphone.
I like that you looked with such contempt in the camera. No.
No. That's not me.
Ew.
That's not my life. So why am I seemingly more on top of these things than the professionals? Why is it that electricians won't talk to the plumbers and the plumbers won't talk to the general contractor and the general contractor's not talking to nobody? They're just not talking to each other. So what's ended up happening is like we on the church staff are having to go over and plan out a building.
It's events really where that comes down, really comes into play. You can't assume that people are going to communicate with one another. If you're in charge of the event, or if you're just kind of like higher up and making the event happen, you've got to be the one to connect people because otherwise they're not going to do it on their own.
Like you do a lot of events, and like with church events, we tend to think that, oh, it's just small. It's just people will come and hang up some streamers. But no, like we have a decorating team.
Yeah.
We have a team who gets the food. We have a team who like orders it, caters, all that
set
stuff.
Set up, tear down. I mean, all of that, check in, registration, safety, all of it kind of many different pieces that fit together. So you have to have that one sort of centralized hub that directs people. And usually that's the person at the top. For the building, it's you. For events, it's usually me.
Yeah. But it's insane because I just never, I don't know. I don't know where to take that. Hold on. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's 100%.
You got to be the one to connect people. But yeah, that is frustrating when you know it would be so much simpler if you would talk to you and that would take that off of my plate, but it's
It's
not going to happen.
Look, I lead worship and I do the radio show for a living. Now I feel like I'm pretty qualified to build a building.
Right. Yeah, or at least assist in the process.
Look, maybe this process has helped me, you know what I mean? I want to ask Dr. Shaw, cuz I think at the end of the day this does just come down to leadership. It's like, "Hey, look, if you want to be a leader, these are the things you got to do."
Yep.
It's a bitter pill, but swallow it I must.
That's right. Write in and let us know if you've ever encountered that where you have to be the fabric that holds an entity or an organization or a project together.
David Crowder did a mockumentary series one time, and they said that if someone ever tells you you're the glue that holds this thing together, you're about to get kicked out.
Yeah. See ya.
See ya, bud.
252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey, what's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm Ellie.
And we just want to take a second and let you know about Dr. Shaw's new book on the market right now called Can We Recover the Original Text of the New Testament? Boy, that is a long title.
True, but it's a very simple message. The original text of the New Testament is not only attainable, but there are lots of different ways that scholars go about discovering it.
There's a lot of people out there saying that the original text is lost forever, or that it's hopeless to actually try to find it, or that there's many texts of the New Testament. But alongside Dr. David Allen Black, Dr. Shaw has actually compiled papers from some of the world's leading experts in textual criticism, including one written by himself on various methodologies for extracting the original text. And listen, if you're interested in textual criticism, this book is a great introduction to the field.
You can pick up your copy on Amazon, or you can buy it from our church website. That's clearviewbc.org. We're going to leave a link in the description box so you can get your copy today.
Love that. Ellie, let's hop back in.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here once again in the Clearview Today studio with special guest Dr. Questions, who is also a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website. Now, here's the thing. This is crazy. He stole AbadanShaw.com right from under our noses. I don't know how he got it.
I'm going to have to check the back end of programming on that website to figure out how he got behind those firewalls and how he picked up the domain name registration.
Hashtag crazy. Identity theft. Dr. Questions, it is so good to have you in the studio again today.
It's good to be here.
Good to see you. Good to see you. I want to ask you this.
Okay.
Have you ever had to do extra work that wasn't yours to do because two or more other parties aren't talking to each other, aren't communicating?
Have I ever had to do that?
What we're saying is like,
not in a long time.
We're at a place now where it's like with the new building, it's not really happening now, but in the beginning it was happening where this was our grapevine today, where like the electrical people aren't talking to the HVAC people.
Yeah.
The HVAC people aren't talking to the contractor who's not talking to the AV people. Mm-hmm. So the AV people are like, I'm not coming until all the electrical's done. It's like, that's been done for weeks. And it's like, oh, well, yeah, I'll just come do it. And so it's like you or me or us who are not in construction, or you who are not in this. Now you're having to
now
play.
Now you're the middleman.
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, it's yours. Yep. Like it's your building. Yep.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've had to deal with that right here with our office staff, thank God, we're at a place where people talk to each other. They communicate so well. So we don't have that problem. But when I was in the secular field, I guess.
I was going to ask, when you were in school, did that happen? When you were principal?
When I was a principal, yes, yes.
Wow.
People would have their own little... their own kingdoms in the video room.
The kingdoms in the video room.
Kingdom in the video room.
Shout out to Jim Standridge, wherever you are, brother.
So when they would do that, then yeah, of course we would have trouble.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. That's something that happens, man.
That is frustrating. But you know what's not frustrating?
What's that?
What's enjoyable is lightning round questions.
Lightning round questions is today, and y'all know what that means, don't you? That means it's time for us to read the questions that these people have sent in.
I was trying to follow. I didn't know where you were going to go. I was like, what
does that mean? Oh, you thought it was going to be like a pun? I don't have a pun. I just was going to explain what lightning round questions
lightning is. Lightning strikes every Friday here
That's
on the
right.
Cleveland Today Show.
And boom!
We're coming to you with some of your questions. So if you haven't been sending in those questions, why, first of all?
You know we do this every Friday.
Send
this is the Friday
us.
Show. Like, I'm not trying to get angry, but this is the Friday show.
Take a breath. It's okay. It's all right. Calm down. Calm down.
252.
You scared yourself? I just scared my own self.
I saw my reflection and got spooked.
I jumped and flinched my own
252-582-5028. Make sure you're sending those questions in to the Clearview Today Show for lightning round questions. John, you want to take the first one?
First question is from Terrence R. What do you, in your Christian opinion, what do you believe the R stands for?
Rigatoni.
Terrence Rigatoni wants to know, Dr. Questions, what's your favorite Christian podcast? And then in parentheses, besides this one. Because we all know Clearview Today is the top tier.
Wow.
I mean, absolutely 100% iTunes number one podcast.
Boom.
It's not a Christian podcast per se. It is the person behind it is definitely a believer, a Christian. I love John Maxwell's leadership podcast.
Great podcast.
Yes. It's it starts out with... a clip. When I say clip, it's like maybe 10 minutes, 12 minutes, sometimes even more of John Maxwell talking about something with leadership and something cutting edge or some story or some principle or some steps to management or leadership or vision or conflict resolution or whatever it is. And then once he's done, then the host will come together.
Right.
And they will talk about it.
That's awesome. Yeah. John Maxwell's, we're a big fan of his. You know, he actually gave you a personal shout out. On,
yes, he did.
Was
he
that
did.
On the podcast or was that another show he did?
Was no, that his radio show?
That
was the Minute with Maxwell.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Minute with Maxwell.
Very
That's
cool.
correct.
Very
That's
cool.
Correct.
They, those who are part of the John Maxwell Foundation, which we are as a church.
We are. People don't know that. We are part of the John Maxwell Foundation.
That's true.
Yes.
So they send it out and you can write in and suggest one of the words of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Shaw wrote in and John Maxwell did it.
Hey, you know what? I say, well, let's return the favor. Shout out to you, John Maxwell. And shout out to Terrence R. for your question. Thank you very much, my friend.
That's right. Next up, we have Curtis C. What does the C stand for?
Oh, Curtis. Cat litter.
Yikes. Hate that for him. Curtis cat litter. Are there any textual variants that have stumped scholars?
Any big questions like we're still trying to answer?
The big ones, of course, are the pericope adulterae.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about John 7:53-8:11, that passage of the woman caught in adultery. People are still discussing that. Matthew chapter 16, the ending of Mark. Did Mark really write the ending, or is it something that later scribes have added into the mix? Those are the two big ones that are still... debated over.
Is it?
I don't think it's a closed case.
Really?
Yet. No, mm-hmm. no, far from that.
So yeah. is it the case that it's like, hey, we're still debating. I'm pretty confident over here and we're in clash. Or is it more that we just don't know?
No, I think it's more confident.
Okay. It's two different sides or multiple different sides that that are arguing for
yes.
to be right. But there's no textual variance where it's like, we have no clue.
There are some that may fall in that category. I mean, maybe one day we can do a show on that and I can kind of list a few
Absolutely.
Of those
yeah.
that do fall in that category where we're not sure. Like even the Byzantine text sometimes will split. Sometimes people think, you know, Byzantine is like is a monolith. Mm-hmm. This is it. There's the Alexandrian text. There's a Byzantine text. That's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
There are times that it will also, a Byzantine scholar like Dr. Maurice Robinson will tell you, it's like, well, I have to make the best possible decision because even my favorite text, and that's not just because I like it or he's not a King James only, by the way.
Right.
He's not.
Right.
But he will say, even in those situations, I don't know. I don't know.
Is it common? I know we're kind of getting off topic, but is it common for people to be Byzantine priority and not be King James? Or is it, are you guys, because you're not King James only.
No.
Dr. Robinson is not King James only. Are you guys sort of the anomaly? Or is it more common than people give it credit for?
Great question. It is now being respected by scholars mm-hmm. even more. But yeah, we are probably the minority
gotcha.
That are not necessarily King James only. And again, let me go and say this. I am not against the King James text.
Right.
The translation.
Right.
I'm not against that. I think it was a great translation for the time. Some of the best scholarly minds came together.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the places like Hampton Court in England, I mean, Stationer's Place. I mean, they mm-hmm. came and sat and they studied and they decided and they made sure that what they were translating was the best of the best.
Right.
And again, the text behind it is mostly Textus Receptus, or the, mm-hmm. you know, or as good as possible, the Byzantine text.
Right.
Not necessarily identical, but close as possible. So I do like the Byzantine text, as you know.
Right.
But doesn't mean that I'm a King James only. King James only has become a category in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yes, there are scholars. I mean, yes, there are people who are King James only who don't understand the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are people who favor the Byzantine text and they like that fact. But then a lot of the people in the King James only camp, they are King James only because of the English rendering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the problem comes in. That's where you go, we may be on the same side, but we're not in the same camp.
Right. Like you're gotcha. King James only without even worried about what the Greek or what the Latin or what the Hebrew was.
Yeah.
Like you're King James only without knowing the translation.
But when people start making statements like, you know, this was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Or this is the preserved word of God.
Thinking that Paul yeah. read the King James
yeah.
Bible. Not even that. Some people will say, like, I don't say that. Okay. But then there are people who will get into a lot of this preservation, like this is the one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, that's not good scholarship.
Right.
And I am not part of the King James only group.
That's yeah. right. That's right. Curtis C., thank you so much for your question, my friend. Moving on to Frankie G., which I'm suspecting is a fake name, because if you got a name like Frankie G., you're too cool to be writing into the likes of me. Frankie G. wants to know, what do you think the G stands for?
Grunch.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's make this name a little less cool.
Grunch.
Frankie Grunch, not grunge.
No, grunch.
Grunge like Kurt Cobain, that would be kind of cool. Grunch. Right. Frankie Grunch wants to know, what advice would you give a new Christian trying to incorporate faith into everyday life?
Ooh, good question, Frankie.
Great
especially,
question.
Yeah, especially when you're a new Christian. It's like, yeah. All right, this is my life, but this is my church life. How do I get yeah. the two to be
small
one?
Small steps.
Yeah.
I would say take small steps. Sometimes people just jump in. And if they had a Christian upbringing,
mm-hmm.
okay, if they grew up in church or they grew up in a Christian home, a Christian setting, or they went to a Christian school, all these things, if those foundational values were there, then when they become a Christian, it's almost like they don't just like crawl, they run.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. But if you don't have those foundational values, then I would suggest slow down, be like Paul. Even Paul had foundational values.
Yeah, that's yeah. true.
But he went away into Arabia to clarify his thinking, mm-hmm. to get his mind straight with the help of the Holy Spirit. And he comes back. I mean, he's on fire for God.
That's a great point. I feel like a lot of times people who maybe don't have that foundation mm-hmm. will view themselves as like a step behind, or like I need to catch up, or I need to be at a certain pace.
Or they overcompensate.
Yeah.
Because they almost want you to know,
mm-hmm.
I know more because I have done all this yeah. stuff.
Right.
And I know people like that, and I feel bad for them because it's like you don't have to prove yourself.
Yeah. Right. I felt like I was yeah. in the first camp when I first got saved because I didn't grow up in a Christian. I mean, I didn't grow up Christian. I was saved at 15. And so I was sort of introduced to that, but I was in a church that sang hymns that everybody knew and I didn't. All the people in youth grew up with VeggieTales. Like, mm-hmm. like there was all this, like, you know, the Christian
yeah.
culture
yeah.
that you have. And so I felt like at 15, like in those high school years, I was trying to assimilate and it was kind of difficult. I never felt like I had to overcompensate, but I definitely felt the first one where I was like, I'm not a real, like, I'm a Christian, but I'm not in that Christian culture. Yeah. I'm kind of on the outside
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So yeah, great question, Frankie. Great and great name, by the way. Frankie G. Next question.
Patrick T wants to know, what does the T stand for, John? That's not his question, but I want to know, what does the T stand
Turtle
for?
Turtle cup.
Turtle cup.
Turtle cup. Patrick Turtle cup.
That's who wrote in.
Wants to know, how do pastors handle doubt?
Ooh, are pastors above doubt?
No, they're not.
Yeah.
I think I shared that on this show.
I think we did an episode on doubt. It. Yeah, we can link to that in the show.
Years ago. When I say years and years, it seems like decades ago. Well, that's not the case. But in the early 2000s, I was already pastoring for maybe 2-3 years, or maybe 2 years. And I began to struggle. I had been through some pain in my back. It was a tumor. As you know, it turned out benign. Praise God for that. But I went through seasons of doubt. As I'm doing doctoral work, and academic reading can sometimes really mess with your head.
Mm.
You have to stay focused because you're reading scholars who may not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord.
Right, right.
And so they don't have the same fidelity to the scriptures. They don't have the same loyalty to the doctrines of the faith, the historic Christian doctrines. So sometimes they will say things, and if you're not careful, your head begins to spin.
Wow. Is it because you find yourself agreeing, or you find yourself being like, I disagree, but I can't argue with this guy because he's so much higher than me?
I disagree, but I don't have enough evidence as this guy does.
Gotcha.
Because he's making his case and he is footnoting and he is putting evidence in there. Mm. And I know convictionally I am not with him, but I don't seem to have enough evidence behind my convictions to say, hey, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
yeah.
a great point.
Now, there are people who have written and have given us plenty of evidence to say that our convictions are right. But in those early years, when you don't have those resources at your hand, then you almost feel like, wow, we may be on the losing side here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think for me, as the years went by, more reading, more study, more exposure to our view, rather than pat answers. Sometimes on the web, you'll find pat answers.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So we got to be careful about that.
ChatGPT wrote those.
Yeah, and they just threw things together. And then somebody comes and deconstructs them and says, let me tell you how this is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
This is not true. That's not true. That's not true. And then you go, well, I was basing all my convictions on that argument, but that apparently is false. So I don't know what I believe now.
Yeah. That's a great point.
But if with time you have studied, you have exposed yourself to good writers who are convictionally in the same camp, but give you deep reasons and properly researched evidence, then you go, yeah, I know what he's saying and I know where he's coming from. And there is a point there, but we have so much more on this side.
Mm-hmm.
We're okay.
I remember one of the things that really helped me a lot was a couple semesters ago, I had to write a positional paper. And I think the subject I chose was infant baptism. Like, is it doctrinally sound?
Right.
And so Dr. Shaw gave me a bunch of books on it. And then I remember there was one where you were like, I think you should read this one. This guy makes points in favor of it. And I was like, oh, no, thank you. I'm not looking to make points in favor of it. He was like, no, that's good scholarship. You have to read opposing stuff. And I felt the same way where I was like, daggone, he's kind of making sense. Like, I know he's wrong. Yeah. I don't agree with this at all. But like, if he were here, I don't think I could beat him. I don't think I could prove him wrong.
Yeah, right. That's a great point. Is, you know, scholars will present from a scholarly perspective, and you know convictionally, like, I don't agree with that, but I can't assemble the resources as to why I don't agree with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but with time, you accumulate enough knowledge, resources, you know, hey, I may not be able to, you know, voice all my reasons and give all my evidence right now, but I know where I can find it.
Right.
Mm. I have some books in my library. I know where I can find those articles on the web. I know which libraries to go to, and I can answer that. Give me a little time.
Yeah, absolutely. Patrick, thank you so much for your question, my friend. Moving on to Eddie P. What do you think the P stands for?
Pram.
Eddie Pram, I'm confident that God is the same throughout all time and doesn't change. Good for you, Eddie Pram.
Good for you.
But why does he seem so harsh and judgment focused in the Old Testament and loving and forgiving in the New Testament? This is a question I bet pastors get asked every single week.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a huge misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
And part of the problem is the lack of Old Testament preaching in our churches.
Good point.
And that problem comes from partly from a bad theological system.
Yeah.
Where Old Testament is looked down upon and New Testament is exalted, and that's not right.
Yeah.
So, yes, I like certain tenets of dispensational thinking, but I'm not a dispensationalist for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Again, let me clarify. It does not mean that every dispensationalist looks down on the Old Testament, but they will study it, they will even preach on it, but they will have a whole different spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Old Testament is full of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's where sometimes people go, are you a covenant theologian or are you in the covenant theology side? Like, no, because covenant theology sometimes gets into a lot of trouble when it comes to proper interpretation of the Bible, because you have to go to the context, to the original intent of that passage first,
right,
before you draw out any spiritual implication. And if you do draw out spiritual implication, it better be coming with some kind of support in the rest of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
If that support is not there, then you are misinterpreting that passage.
Yeah.
Or you're making it say more than it's supposed to say.
True. Any hope that helps you, my friend. Next question.
Next question is coming from Brad R. John, what do you think the R stands for?
Oh, that's going to be Brad Renfro.
Brad himself. Renfro.
Yeah,
wow.
He's an actor, isn't he?
I think so. Brad Renfro wants to know, how do pastors of large churches or mega churches stay connected with their congregants?
See, there is a mindset out there that the larger you go, the harder it is to connect with the pastor. Mm-hmm. And I know, I get it because you want to have that sit down and talk with your pastor or after church, just have this conversation, or at special events, you know, your pastor is right there and you're just hanging out with him. And
yeah.
That's great. But it's unrealistic.
Yeah, that's true.
When we were a small church, I could do that. I could just hang out and talk and all that. But we began to grow. And the reason we began to grow was because we began to seek what God wanted us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Preach the word, lift up Jesus Christ, bring a smile to the face of our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Let the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us to deal with sin in our lives, to love one another, to reach the lost. I mean, we're doing what is right.
Mm-hmm.
Standing up for convictions, taking a risk, because without taking a risk, you cannot have faith. I mean, all these things. So what happens? The church begins to grow. And when it begins to grow, more people come, and it's harder to connect with every single person.
That's right.
I get it. So as the church grows, it also has to become small.
Mm. Yeah.
And the way we become small is through our circles, which is small group ministry.
Right. That's right.
We become small in every gathering or assembly or function or special day, we are there.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody does want to access to the pastor, they can.
That's right. That's right.
They can. I'm there greeting people on the way in. I'm there greeting people on the way out. Can I greet every single person who comes to Clearview? Probably not. But I'm there.
That's right.
They're, and I know you guys are there too.
100%. Yeah. Thank you so much, Brad, for your question. I think we got time for one more short one. Let me see. Let me pick one that's got a short answer. I think we got time. Nelson T wants to know, I loved your series on how to discern God's will for your life. Would you ever plan on turning that into a book?
Oh, I've been asked that question.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of series we're doing right now. I believe every single one of them could be a book.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
I think every single one of them will be a book. Mm-hmm. It just we're at a very good but busy time in a church's life.
Yeah, that's true. And the reason for that, I think, is because you're not just writing sermons. You're doing research.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the sermons here at Clearview are very research heavy because they're scholarly in nature.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the sermons have that very unique quality about them. Whereas, you know, I'm not knocking anybody else's sermons, but if I pick up a book that was a Christian book that was from someone's series of sermons, they'll read more or less the same.
Right.
So, absolutely.
So they're coming. And just hang tight.
Yeah.
I mean, we just had a book out.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Praying 30 for days America. Praying for America.
30 days Praying for America. That's available now on Amazon as a paperback or as an ebook.
That's right.
Available as an audiobook very soon.
Yes.
So
that's
stay
coming.
Tuned for more information about that. Nelson, thank you so much for writing in. Dr. Questions, thank you for being with us today.
Appreciate you, man.
Good to be here.
If you have not yet, make sure you're sending in those questions for Dr. Questions to 252-582-5028. You can also visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the gospel of Jesus. John, what encouragement you want to leave our listeners with this weekend?
I would say I'm going to be without a radio host again, or a co-host. I would say come visit me at the Clearview Today studio because I'm going to be without a co-host once again for next week. This is insane. I feel like you just got back.
I know.
And you're
fading away.
Gone again. I mean, it's just, I'm over here just like, man, it's just insane. But it's okay. We will persevere. As in the meantime, for you guys listening to the Clearview Today show, take a break, go and worship in your church this weekend and come back on Monday because we're going to be back with all new content here on the Clearview Today show.
Make sure you guys
I'll miss you.
I'll miss you too.
Thank you, buddy.
Make sure you guys tune in. We love you guys. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.